British Coal Staff Superannuation Scheme Pensions News 2024 Newsletter. Part of the coal mining community since 1947. Welcome. Welcome to your 2024 newsletter, created by your trustees for members of BCSSS and their families. It's already been a year since I was appointed. The time's flown, and there's plenty for us to update you with as the year draws to a close. Firstly, I'm happy to report that the scheme is in good health and members' pensions remain protected by the guarantee. In July, we welcomed a new government. They've made good on their election pledge to review MPS and return the investment reserve back to members. The trustees of BCSSS have been trying to engage with the government on how they could also improve benefits for BCSSS members. More of that on page 4. It's not just the government that's changed. There have been a number of changes to the trustee board as terms come to an end and new board members step into these important roles. We're also looking for a new appointed trustee to join the board. Could that be you? Find out more on pages 8 and 9. We've included a cut-out and keep guide to what happens in the event a member dies. I hope it is helpful and that having the information in one place will give members and their families peace of mind. You'll find lots of other updates and guides in the newsletter. I hope you enjoy reading them. We're looking forward to a busy 2025. We have the latest actuarial valuation to complete, and we hope to make progress on our engagement with the government in light of the changes to MPS. And I wish all our members and your families a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Cheryl Agius, Chair. News. Some highlights and things to look out for. Your pension is increasing. Your guaranteed pension payments will go up again this year in line with the November Retail Price Index, RPI. Inflation has been falling this year, so the pension increase is likely to be less than last year. If you're taking your pension, we'll send you a letter to confirm how your pension has increased. You should get this letter just before the 31st of January 2025 payday. If you're not taking your pension at the moment, you'll get a benefit statement later in 2025 with all the details. Deferred member, you can now delay taking your pension. Deferred members who are approaching 60 can now delay taking their pension up to their 70th birthday. If you choose late retirement, your pension will be paid over a shorter time, so the payments will be higher. If you're over 60 and aren't taking your pension, please ask the administrator for details of your late retirement pension. If you're not yet 60, we'll send you details of your pension before your 60th birthday, and you can defer it then. An update on the scheme's valuation. The scheme actuary values the scheme's financial health every 3 years. They work out how much the scheme needs to pay to members and the government in the future. Then they calculate how much money is in the scheme now, our assets, and what returns we'll need to be able to meet those payments. A healthy valuation doesn't automatically mean we pay money to the government or increase members' benefits. But it does give the trustees an opportunity to talk to the Labour government about how the scheme is funded. The next valuation is underway and will be based on the scheme's financial position on the 31st of March 2024. We'll let you know the result of the valuation in next year's newsletter. As part of the 2024 valuation, we're trying to engage with the government about the changes to MPS and what it could mean for BCSSS, see page 4. The Labour Manifesto Commitment. Changes to MPS and what it could mean for BCSSS members. The government has agreed to transfer the Mine Workers Pension Schemes, MPS, £1.5 billion investment reserve to its members. That money will be used to pay members a bonus worth 32% of their guaranteed pensions. The BCSSS trustees are asking the government to consider making changes that could improve benefits for our members too. The investment reserves were created in 1994. When British Coal was privatised in 1994, the government became guarantor for BCSSS and MPS. If either scheme ran short of money, the government would make sure there was enough to pay members' pensions. At that time, both schemes had a surplus. Half of each surplus was used to improve the members' pensions. The government used the other halves to create investment reserves for each scheme. The money in the reserves was to be used as a buffer to make up for any future shortfall. If they weren't needed, the reserves would gradually reduce and be paid to the government. If not, the reserves would gradually reduce and be paid to the government. Over the years, trade unions, MPs and scheme members have campaigned for the MPS investment reserve to be transferred to members. And in their election manifesto, Labour pledged to make changes to MPS. They've since made good on that promise and transferred the MPS investment reserve to MPS members. The Labour manifesto didn't mention BCSSS. BCSSS and MPS are separate schemes. Each has its own investments, scheme rules and trustee board. However, given the similarities between the two schemes, we believe it's fair to ask for a similar change to BCSSS. The BCSSS trustees are trying to get a fairer deal for our members too. We'd already indicated to the government that we believe the current actuarial valuation is a good opportunity to review the structure of BCSSS. Since the MPS changes, we've written to the government to stress the similarities between the schemes and their memberships. We've asked for a meeting to discuss possible changes to BCSSS to improve member pensions. We're doing everything we can to engage with the government and improve pensions for our members. Only the government can make changes to the scheme rules. This is a political matter. Changes to the scheme rules can only be made by the government. We are aware that scheme members have been writing to their MPs on this issue and that a number of MPs have agreed to take it up with the government. If you haven't already done so, you may wish to contact your MP, highlight the changes to MPS, and ask if they're able to do anything on behalf of BCSSS members. We'll update you as soon as we know more. We know how important this is to members. As soon as anything changes, we'll post an update on the scheme website and email members to let you know. But action from the government could take some time. Financial highlights. Your scheme in numbers. We've picked out some of the most important figures from the report and accounts and other data to give you a snapshot of how your scheme performed over the year ended 31st of March 2024. Our report and accounts explains how we've been looking after your pension. It will give you some information about the scheme's membership and how the scheme's investments have been managed. We've highlighted the key points here, and you can find the full report and accounts at bcsss-pensions.org.uk/scheme-publications/. Number of members in the scheme at the end of the scheme year. 31st of March 2024, 40,927. 31st of March 2023, 42,790. How much money the scheme held in assets at the end of the scheme year? 31st of March 2024, 8,576 million pounds. 31st of March 2023, 8,862 million pounds. How much the scheme paid to members in pensions over the scheme year? 31st of March 2024, around £600 million. 31st of March 2023, £567 million. The oldest and youngest scheme members this year. Oldest member, 105. Oldest spouse, 112. Youngest former contributing member, 48. Financial highlights. How we've turned investments into money for your pensions this year. At the end of the last scheme year, we had 8.6 billion invested across many types of assets. As you can see from the graph on the next page, these range from equities, company shares, and commodities like wheat or metals, to real assets like property and infrastructure and bonds, loans to governments or companies. Where we invest your money. We focus on investments that will deliver the returns we need to be able to pay members' pensions. As you can see from the graph, 38% of our investments are in lower risk assets, such as government bonds. These kinds of assets aren't expected to grow as much as shares, but their value is usually much more stable and provides a regular income. We also invest in growth assets, such as shares. These can generate higher returns, but also increase risk. We can afford to take these calculated risks thanks to the government guarantee, because whatever happens, we will always have enough money to pay your pension. The public markets are open to all investors, such as companies listed on the stock exchange. Some of our investments in public markets include shares in some of the biggest companies in the world, such as Facebook, Microsoft, and Amazon. Private markets aren't traded publicly. Our investments include Uber, Monzo Bank, and GoFundMe. How our assets have performed. The scheme's assets delivered positive returns over the past 1, 3, and 5 years. That said, performance was lower than the benchmark set by the trustees, particularly in the last year. We see a more positive outlook ahead, and we're focusing on protecting our income and returns in the future. This might mean investing more in assets than involve lending to companies where the future cash proceeds are more certain. What's changed in 2024? Over the year, we've made some big changes to our mix of investments with new or additional investments in government bonds and high interest loans to companies. Because interest rates are high at the moment, bonds are bringing in more income than in previous years. Commodities, including copper, which we believe will deliver high growth in the coming years. The graph previously referred to shows where the scheme was invested at 31st of March 2024. It shows where the scheme was invested in three different types of assets. First of all, there are two types of assets in public growth assets. It shows that invested in shares in public companies, there is £1,488 million. The second type of asset is private growth assets, and there are six categories in this group. Shares in private companies, £901 million. Lending to companies, £1,092 million. UK property, £870 million. UK infrastructure, £259 million. Other private market growth, £74 million, and other, £129 million. Finally, we have lower risk assets. Two categories here: global bonds, £3,220 million, and cash, £61 million. From investments to cash. There are three ways we can turn some of the investments into cash to pay pensions. 1. Investment income. Some of that cash is from dividends from shares and rent from properties. 2. Repayment of loans and bonds. We get this back in cash when the loans or bonds reach the end of their term. 3. Actively selling investments. We decide which investments to sell and when to sell them, based on what will give us the best returns and meet our cash needs. This year, we've mainly sold shares in private companies and UK infrastructure. We typically sell shares in private companies after a few years when they've significantly grown in value. That's usually due to business expansion, increased revenue, or successful milestones like mergers and acquisitions. On the other hand, infrastructure investments tend to be longer term and may not generate immediate returns. This means these investments need to be sold as the scheme matures and more members start to take their pension. So we sold some of those assets to pay members' pensions and shift our investment strategy towards shorter-term investments. The scheme also reduced its investments in private debt, loans to private companies. Private debt benefits the scheme in two ways. First, we receive regular income from interest payments during the loan term. Second, when the loan matures, we get back the original amount we loaned out. This year, many of the loans the scheme has provided reached maturity. So the companies paid back the full loan plus the interest we earned. We carefully manage this process to make sure we can pay pensions reliably. This year, we paid out around £600 million to members, which means we had to convert around 7% of our investments into money that could be paid to members. Your trustees. If you have a question or comment for the trustees, please email the trustees office at bcsss.inquiries@coal-pension.org.uk. Or write to them at Ventana House, 2 Concourse Way, Sheaf Street, Sheffield, S1 2BJ. An update on your trustees. There have been several changes over the last year, so we would like to welcome Eve and Mike to the board and pay tribute to Alan Wally and Alan Rubinstein for their time as trustees. Election results. Bledin Hancock will serve another term as pensioner representative. In August and September, members across North West England, West Midlands, Wales, and Northern Ireland voted for their next pensioner representative trustee. With 63% of the vote, 1,443 votes, Bledin Hancock was re-elected. Bledin will continue in the role until 30th of September 2028. Congratulations to Bledin and thank you to everyone who took part in the election, whether by standing or voting. A big thanks. We'd like to thank Alan Wally, who retired as a trustee director and chair of the Risk and Assurance Subcommittee on 31st of May 2024, and to Alan Rubinstein, who stepped down from his role as trustee director and chair of the Investment Subcommittee effective 31st of August 2024. Meet Eve Finn, chair of the Investment Subcommittee. Eve was appointed on the 1st of June 2024 to replace Alan Wally. She is an actuary with more than 20 years of experience in asset management, banking, and investment consulting. Most recently, she was CEO of Legal & General Investment Managements, LGIM, European Investment Management Company. Before that, she held leadership roles in LGIM's investment division in London. She was also a trustee to both the Legal & General Pension Scheme and Legal & General Pension Fund, and held pensions investment roles at Deutsche Bank and Willis Towers Watson. Eve is a non-executive director on various asset management, fund company, and not-for-profit boards. Eve spends her free time with her family and likes to travel. Michael "Mike" Eakins, chair of the Risk and Assurance Subcommittee. Mike was appointed on the 1st of September 2024 to replace Alan Rubinstein. He's a qualified actuary with more than 25 years of experience in asset management, banking, and insurance. Mike is the Chief Investment Officer of the Phoenix Group PLC, the UK's largest long-term savings and retirement provider. Previously, Mike was a Managing Director at Goldman Sachs, where he spent more than 14 years. He held a variety of roles, including being responsible for Goldman Sachs's pension and insurance business across Europe. Mike is married with three children and a love of sports, particularly playing golf and putting his Fulham FC season ticket to good use. Could you be our new appointed trustee? Jim Shearer's term as an appointed trustee ends on the 30th of April 2025. We're extremely grateful to Jim for all he's done. We're looking for Jim's replacement. If you'd like to apply for the role, you need to be a member who has held a senior management position, either at British Coal or another organization. Significant experience at board or executive committee level in a large organization. Experience with development of strategy, monitoring performance, risk management, corporate reporting, and governance. Excellent written and oral communication skills, and be able to communicate complex concepts clearly and precisely to a variety of interested parties. We've included some more information below. If you'd like more details or to apply for the role, please get in touch with Karen Barton, the Scheme Secretary, by the 31st of December 2024. You can email her on bcsss. coal-pension.org.uk or write to Scheme Secretary, Coal Pension Trustees Services Limited, Ventana House, Sheaf Street, Sheffield, S1 2BJ. More about being a trustee. Our trustee board is made up of 8 trustees with a mix of skills and experience. 4 are chosen by members and are called the elected trustees. And 4 are appointed by the trustees themselves and are called appointed trustees. We're looking for an appointed trustee. You'll make sure the scheme is run well in the interest of members. You'll work with the other trustees to make sure every one of the scheme's 40,000 pensioners is paid the right pension without fail every month, and that members get any increase they're entitled to. A key part of that is setting the scheme's investment strategy and make sure there's enough money to pay members' pensions. The trustees appoint specialists to help with this and monitor their performance. You'll attend meetings, workshops, and training. Appointed trustees are appointed for 3 years and can serve for up to 9 years. During your term, you'll get the support you need to make a positive contribution, but you'll need to commit a substantial amount of time to the role. For example, you will attend at least 4 meetings a year. These are usually held over 2 days in Sheffield or London. These meetings involve a lot of pre-reading, and we'll send you all the papers you need a week in advance so you can prepare thoroughly. Attend ad hoc meetings throughout the year. This will include workshops and training. Give us your input when we need it. We'll call on you to help with questions and issues as they come up, sometimes at short notice. You don't need to be a pensions expert. We'll give you the information you need to develop a sound undertaking of pensions law, trusts, and how the scheme is run. But you don't need to be an expert. You'll have advisors and dedicated executives from Coal Pension Trustee Services to support you. Find out more on the Pensions Regulators website. You'll find the Pensions Regulators Trustee Guidance at thepensionsregulator.gov.uk. Set up a power of attorney now to make life easier in the future. As we get older, we're more likely to need a long hospital stay or have a condition that reduces our mental capacity. If this happens, it can be useful to have someone you trust to help make decisions for you. Power of Attorney, POA, is a legal document that sets out who you want to make these decisions on your behalf. Millions of people in the UK have Power of Attorney in place just in case they need it later in life. A Power of Attorney can save time, money, and stress. Without a POA, it becomes difficult for your loved ones to manage your affairs, like your pension, bank account, or health. This can result in lengthy and costly delays. For example, it could mean we have trouble paying you your pension. Not having a POA in place could even mean a court decides who can act on your behalf. Setting up a POA means you can choose this for yourself, although a court can overrule someone's POA if they believe it's being misused. There are 2 kinds of power of attorney. There's one for health and welfare, the other for property and financial affairs. Setting up both gives you the best protection for the future. How to set up a power of attorney? Decide who you want to act on your behalf. It can be more than one person. You don't have to choose the same people for your health and your financial affairs, although this can make things simpler. Check they're happy to be named as your attorney. Fill in the forms to appoint your attorney. You'll find these and full guidance at gov.uk/power-of-attorney. Register your power of attorney. In 2024, it costs £82 each, £164 for both health and financial affairs. But remember, it will likely save you and your family money later. You can get help to set them up. The scheme can't help you set up a POA, but there are organisations that can. Some people use a solicitor, or other paid-for services, like Which? Legal Services. Age UK also has some useful information about what's involved. Go to ageuk.org.uk or phone 0800 055 6112. Make sure you've got a will too. When a person dies, the POA becomes void, so it's just as important to make a will while you're physically and mentally able to. It's the only way to make sure your money, property, possessions and investments go to the people and causes you care about. Which Legal Services can help with wills as well as with powers of attorney? Or find out more about making a will by going to ageuk.org.uk or phoning 0800 055 6112. Twice a year, there's a free wills service available in the UK. Free Wills Month comes in March and October. For more information, visit freewillsmonth.org.uk. Three steps to protect yourself from telephone scams. Telephone scams are where people pretend to be a legitimate company to trick you into giving away personal information or money over the phone. They rely on putting you on the spot and making it difficult for you to say no or hang up. There's a lot you can do to protect yourself once you know what to look out for. Follow these three steps if you ever suspect a scam call. 1. Be wary if a caller calls out of the blue. If companies need to speak to you, they'll write first. Asks for personal details, like bank details or passwords. Pressures you to act quickly. You're entitled to time to think. Becomes aggressive. It's never acceptable for a caller to be rude or bullying. 2. Put the phone down immediately. Don't be tempted to confront them or engage with them. Scammers will try to keep you talking to get information from you. Just hang up. Don't worry that you're being rude. If it's a genuine caller, they'll respect your right to protect yourself against scams and won't be offended. 3. Call the company back on a number you know to be real. For example, if the caller said they were from the scheme, call us on 0333 222 0074 or email us at bcsss@capita.com and ask us to check if the call was real. Other resources to help stop phone scams. Report suspected scams to Action Fraud on 0300 123 2040. Cut the cold calls with TPS. The Telephone Preference Service, TPS, blocks unsolicited calls, though it can't block all scammers. Join for free at www.tpsonline.org.uk or text TPS and your email address to 85095. Don't click on links in texts. Check with the company that it's genuine. Watch our video and get other information about pension scams at bcsss-pension.org.uk/useful-sources-of-information/pension-scams. Read the Pensions Regulators booklet online at bcsss-pension.org.uk/media/bofyv/16423_pensions_consumer_leaflet_screen.pdf. If you've been scammed, speak up. National Trading Standards estimate that 19 million people in the UK have lost money to phone scams. Yet less than a third have reported the crime, often because they feel angry at themselves or embarrassed. Remember, phone and online scammers are organised criminal gangs who use complex strategies to steal from millions of people. Being a victim of fraud is nothing to be ashamed of, any more than being a victim of a burglary. If you think you're the victim of a scam or fraud, report it and get advice by calling Action Fraud on 0300 123 2040 or on their website actionfraud.police.uk/report-scam. How to get financial help and guidance. Find out and claim money you're entitled to. From a boost to your pension payments to help with energy costs, there's financial help available for all kinds of situations. The government has gathered all this information in one place. Take a look to see what's available to you at helpforhouseholds.campaign.gov.uk. Help with essentials from your council. You don't have to be claiming other benefits to get this help. Check with your local what they offer. You can find them at gov.uk/find-local-council. Extra help if you have a disability or are unwell. There are extra benefits and financial support available if you have a disability or health condition. There's a full list of these and how to claim them at gov.uk/browse/benefits/disability. Give yourself a midlife MOT. Midlife MOT is aimed at people aged 45 to 65, but you can use it at any age. It brings together trusted services, tools, and charity resources to help you think about your work, health, and money and plan for the future. Go to jobhelp.campaign.gov.uk/midlife MOT. Get help with your taxes. Tax help for older people can give you guidance and support on anything to do with tax. They can help you find out if you're paying too much tax, tell you your options if your spouse has died, or just give you a hand with your tax return. You can email them at
taxvol@taxvol.org.uk or call them on 0333 207 5659. Wealth at Work. Free guidance on how to take your BCSSS pension. If you're due to start taking your BCSSS pension, you can book a free call with Wealth at Work to talk about your income options through the scheme. Wealth at Work are financial wellbeing and retirement specialists and can help you understand the advantages and disadvantages of each option. Call them directly on 0800 954 0756 to arrange a call. You'll need to have received your retirement options from the scheme before arranging the call. About your scheme. Members' questions. During the regional meetings, the trustees were happy to answer members' questions. Here are a few of the things they talked about. 1. Is there any update on the Capita cyber incident? After the cyber incident last year, Capita appointed an independent cyber security expert. This expert monitors the web to make sure no BCSSS member data is available. Capita has assured us there's no evidence that any BCSSS member data is available illegally or has been misused, including on any third-party websites. 2. Why has the scheme underperformed the benchmark over the last 5 years? Much of this has been driven by underperformance in the past 12 months. As a result, we sold several assets that had underperformed compared to their benchmarks, for example, private equity and infrastructure. Our investments in public equities were also a factor. Large US companies performed well, but as our portfolio is split across US, Europe and Asia, we didn't benefit as much as we could have. However, the scheme's large public bond holdings contributed positively, and property bounced back somewhat after a tough 2022. The trustee sees a more positive outlook next year, and we're looking at how we can diversify our portfolio more to protect our income, cash flows and returns. 3. At the March 2021 valuation, there was a surplus. During the consultation process, it was decided that no action should be taken. Why? During the consultation, the trustees asked the government to consider ways to take advantage of the strong funding position. For example, providing extra benefits to members and making payments to the government. The trustees needed the government to agree because the arrangement would have been outside the rules of the scheme. But the government didn't feel it was appropriate to make changes to the scheme, having considered the risk to the government if future investment returns fell short of those required. Have we got your email address? If you haven't given us your email address, please share it with Capita using the contact details on page 16. That way we can send you information faster and more regularly. History Spotlight. Coal Magazine. A snapshot of miners and their families. Coal started in 1947, not long after nationalisation. It was aimed at mine workers and their families, but also the wider world. The idea was to help others better understand the industry and the people who worked in it. Some of the money raised from selling the Coal magazine went to charity. Reflecting the whole mining community. The scope of the magazine went far beyond the industry itself, and mine workers and their families were encouraged to contribute articles and other content. These included short stories, book and film reviews, gardening tips and sports updates. Each edition also included cartoons. In 1961, the magazine changed its format and its name, becoming a national newspaper called Coal News. Here are some pages from early issues of the magazine. Let us know what you think and if there's anything you remember that you would like to see included in a future newsletter. Many thanks to the National Mining Museum for providing information about Coal Magazine. Every edition is on the museum's website. Go to ncmonline.org.uk to explore the archive. When your pension will be paid in 2025? January the 31st, February the 28th, March the 31st, April the 30th, May the 30th, June the 30th, July 31st, August 29th, September 30th, October 31st, November 28th, December 23rd. Contact information. If you have any questions about your pension or the BCSSS scheme, please contact your administrator by phone 0333 222 0074. By email, bcsss@capita.com. By post, BCSSS, P.O. Box 555, Darlington, DL19YT. If you have any queries about the tax you pay on your BCSSS pension, please contact HMRC by phone 0300 200 3300, or from overseas plus 44 135 535 9022. By post, pay as you earn and self-assessment, HM Revenue and Customs, BX91AS. The Coal Industry Social Welfare Organisation. The Coal Industry Social Welfare Organisation, CISWO, is a national charity working across the UK to improve lives and reduce disadvantage in coal mining communities. CISWO's services are available to those previously employed in the coal mining industry, including partners, widows, and dependent children or adults with a disability. Through its personal welfare service, CISWO aims to enhance living conditions and maintain independence. It provides a free confidential home visiting service and offers assistance with welfare benefits, including an industry-related compensation scheme, a voice on mining-related issues, including illness and disability, help to access mobility equipment, support to reduce loneliness and social isolation, advocacy to express views and concerns and defend and promote rights, emotional support for loss and bereavement, illness and caring responsibilities, financial assistance at times of hardship through CISWO grants or assistance through other agencies and charities, access to education grants for former mine workers and their dependents. For more information, go to ciswo.org.uk or call 01709 728 115. Cut out and keep. What happens when a member dies? Let us know as soon as you can. If a member has died, we'll do everything we can to make it easy for their loved ones to deal with us. We ask that you tell us what's happened as soon as you can. You can do this using the covered by the government's Tell Us Once service, so you'll need to contact us separately. We'll need to know the member's pension reference number or national insurance number, their date of birth, the date they died, your contact details and your relationship to the member. We'll take it from here. When a member dies, we will stop their pension at the date of death. If you are survived by a spouse, their spouse's pension will be paid from the day following the death. If you were living together but not married, we will write to you and ask you to apply for a pension. You'll need to show us that you were partners and had some financial dependency. You can get support with this from CISWO, see page 16 for contact details. If the member was your parent, we might be able to pay a pension to children who are under 18, aged 18 to 23, and in full-time education, or over 18 and were financially dependent on the member due to illness or disability. We'll write to you or a guardian to ask for proof of age, education status or medical conditions. You can get help with this from CISWO, see page 16 for contact details. If you need any support at all, our administration team will guide you through the process. We may need to write to you for further information. For example, the death certificate. We need the original for legal reasons, but we will return the certificate promptly. The member's birth certificate, if we don't have one on file. If a spouse, partner, child, or anyone else was financially dependent on the member, and proof to support that, for example, a marriage certificate. We'll work out if anyone is entitled to death benefits. If you were married to the member and the member paid full family benefit contributions, you'll receive a spouse's pension of around two-thirds of the member's pension. Otherwise, it will be less. We'll write to you to let you know your options. Those include a pension for life or an option to convert part of the pension to a one-off lump sum in exchange for that pension. And if you're also entitled to a guaranteed minimum pension, GMP, we'll pay a GMP income as well as your lump sum. If you were living together but not married and we decide you are eligible for a pension, you'll also be able to choose between a pension for life or a one-off lump sum, the same as if you were married. If the member died before they were 75 years old, the lump sum will be tax-free. If they died after they were 75, it will be taxed. Unfortunately, we can't tell you how much a lump sum will be until after a member dies. That's because we need to know how old the spouse is when the member dies, the value of their pension, and socio-economic factors like predicted inflation at the time they die. If the member dies before taking their pension, or within 5 years of taking it, we'll pay a lump sum to a spouse, relative, or dependent. This is in addition to a spouse pension. The trustees will decide who the lump sum is paid to, taking into account the member's wishes if they've filled out a Rule 28A form. Check your Rule 28A form is up to date. Tell us who you'd like the above lump sum to go to using the Rule 28A election and declaration form, also known as an expression of wish form. Download the form from bcsss-pension.org.uk/media/election_and_declaration_rule_28V5.pdf. Update it on the secure members site. Go to bcsss-pension.org.uk and click on the login/register button. Speak to your administrator on the contact details below. Contact details. Call the member helpline 0333 222 0074. Email us at bcsss@capita.com. Write to the Scheme Administrator, BCSSS, PO Box 555, Stead House, Darlington, DL1 9YT. You can get more information on death benefits and what to do when a member dies on the BCSSS website, bcsss-pension.org.uk/death-benefits/.